Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. You know, God always gives us warnings before things happen. And for the body of Christ, there's nothing that should surprise us. And if we reflect back a couple years ago, the Holy Spirit warned us, and God warned us of the things that were coming to this nation that came to the church. And the first thing that the devil tried to do was to shut down the church. And immediately we gathered together as a group of 10. And the following week we immediately moved out and started having parking lot services. And then the government came and said, you need to wear masks. And so some people felt that they had to wear a mask, and some people felt they didn't have to wear a mask. So the mask became a division in the body of Christ. Hello? In other words, some would say, well, I'm not going to come unless everyone wears masks, or if they're wearing a mask, I'm not coming because I don't want to wear a mask. So we said, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. So we never ordered masks to be worn in the church. But now there's a new thing that's coming, and the Holy Spirit's given us warning because it's coming and it's on its way. We were in the last days, and the Holy Spirit's warning us. The next step is going to happen. The world's going to say, if you're not vaccinated, you can't be together with people that aren't vaccinated. So that's the next separation that's coming to the body of Christ. Well, I'm not coming there because they're not vaccinated, or I'm not going to be with those that are vaccinated. So it's another thing that the adversary is going to use to try to divide the body of Christ. And when we're trusting the Lord with all of our heart, we're leaning not to our own understanding, all of our ways we acknowledge Him, and He's directing our paths, we know that God's going to watch over and He's going to protect His church, because if we're in the last days and we truly believe we're in the last days, it's the time for the church to arise, not to go into hiding. Amen. The devil wants the church to go into hiding, but God wants the church to arise. So now, the Lord was speaking to my heart this week, and He reminded me what the Apostle Paul wrote to his student Timothy. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. The Word of God says this: Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want you to understand with me today that we serve a holy God. It's the Holy Bible, not just the Bible. And the Spirit is speaking expressly that there are seducing spirits that are taking place in the body of Christ. The biggest lie and deception is once saved, always saved, no matter what you do, it doesn't matter. Well, that's a lie from the pits of hell, and it doesn't align with God's word. That's a doctrine from devils. And it's not from God. Amen. God's word, He's going to stand and hold us accountable to His word. Amen. I thank God for His grace. His grace came to save you and I and met each and every one of us where we were at. He loved on us. He gave us His Son. And once we gave our heart to Jesus, He gave us the Spirit of promise. He gave us the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us, that helps us. Sometimes the Lord was speaking to me about my children can't hear my voice. And so one of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about is, I want you to get a hold of this today before I get into where we're going. If you want to hear the voice of God, here's what I suggest you do. You want to hear the voice of God? How many want to hear the voice of God? This is how you hear the voice of God. All the noises out here are distracting you from hearing the voice. The God resides in you and I by the Spirit of God. And if you want to hear the word, hear from God, you want to hear that still small voice, block out all the outside noise and you'll hear him speak. Amen? That's a free lesson. Now, that doesn't mean, children, you don't listen to your parents because your parents are from the Lord. I'm not telling you to stop your ears up. Let's not take it out of context. But let's understand. Let's understand that we're in the latter days. We're in the last days. And the devil is trying to steal what God has called us to be. I don't know about you, but I don't know. The Lord holds me to a higher and a higher a calling. The more I know, the more I'm responsible for. Amen. Amen. So today I want to take you to 1 John chapter 4 for our message this morning. And John the Beloved is warning us in verse number 1. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." If they're not saying that Jesus came from the flesh in the flesh, they're not of God. Amen? Simple as that. It's God's word, not my word. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." In other words, there's a misconception in the body of Christ that we're to become the world, to reach the world, and that's not what the body of Christ is called to be. We reach the world right where they're at. We're not becoming the world to reach the world. Amen? He's told us to separate ourselves. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy," says the Lord God. And I don't know about you. I can't do that without his help. So he says to us, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." The title of this morning's message is simply "To Know or Not to Know." Simple as that. We're going to look at the test, the truth, and the trespass, and we'll close with the trust. Amen? Are y'all with me? Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish something in every heart and every life of everyone that's gathered here, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that Carl gets out of the way. Spirit of the living God, speak to me today, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth be spoken in love, Father God, because love will cover a multitude of sins. May the words that come out of my mouth edify. May they build up the hearer, Father God. May the words that come out of my mouth encourage the hearer, Father God. May the words that come out of my mouth comfort the hearer, Father God. And when all is said and done, you will receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, I thank you, Father God, that in this atmosphere today, faith will increase because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as your word goes forth, it will do something in our hearts and lives. It will spring something forth in our spirit. I will never cease to give you all the praise and all the glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. He says, well, we know they're of God if they hear us. A question I'll ask you first, the test is, are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to you and I? I'm not questioning anybody's salvation. The Word of God says in 1 John 5:13, these things have been written unto us that we may know that we have eternal life, because our trust is in Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And no man comes to the Father but by the Son. But what the beloved John is warning us of is there's coming to the church, there's coming to the body of Christ, there's deception and delusion, and the Antichrist is reigning on this earth. The Antichrist that's going to reign on this earth, the tribulation is already here. Okay, and he's already taken his spot, and things are being orchestrated to usher in Christ's return. Amen. I love it. According to God's word, the trumpets shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that are alive shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, to ever be with the Lord. I'm a pre-trib believer. Amen. I believe that the tribulation, the church, the body of Christ goes up first. I believe there's 3.5 years of tribulation. That's to the Jewish nation. The Jews will face that 3.5 years, and they'll be lifted in the mid-tribulation. And then there's a final tribulation of the 3.5 years where all hell breaks loose on the earth. And then Christ will return with his bride, and will rule and reign with Christ on this earth for a millennial reign for 1,000 years with the Lord. I don't know. I'm getting closer to 100, and it seems like I lived a long time. But when I think about 1,000 years reigning with the Lord, that sounds pretty good to me. Amen? Amen. I don't know. And all of God's promises in him are yes and amen. So when I'm looking at this, and God's saying the test is, am I listening? Not just listening to the preacher preach, but listening to the Spirit of God that's in you, that's going to guide and direct you. Because the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord. And he finds delight in his way if we listen to his voice and we follow his direction. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes my flesh wants to go one way, but my spirit says go the other way. And when I follow my flesh, I usually get myself in a jam. Anybody else in here with me? So the first thing we want to talk about today is the test. If you look with me in James chapter 1, and if you have a sheet of paper, you might want to write it down, or you can go and refer back to the website to look at these things, because I'm a Bible teacher, so we'll be going all the way through the Word of God. Amen? Because the Lord showed me one time that my words don't have very much power, but his words have all of it. Amen? My words aren't going to change your life. God's word is going to change your life. Now, what are we doing? We're building a message together so we can flow together with it, so we can have understanding. Amen? God wants us to understand. So first he says, let's look at verse 19 of James 1. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or anger, for the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen. In other words, before we react, we need to settle down. How many know sometimes our flesh reacts in the wrong way? The spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So we got to trust the Lord in this. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, you want the blessings of God, then apply the word. When we apply the word of God, we operate, we move in the blessings of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the favor and the blessings of God. Amen. And you and I can't outgive him. You know, when he tells us to sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. But he says to break up the fallow ground around your heart. And time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains his righteousness upon you and I. It's about the righteousness of Christ. It's about Christ being manifested in and through our lives. That's what makes people see a difference in our life. We have the same personality that God created us with, but now it's Christ being manifested through me and not me. It's Christ's love. It's Christ's forgiveness. It's Christ's compassion. It's Christ's long-suffering. It's Christ's kindness. It's Christ's gentleness. It's Christ's temperance. Amen? So he says to you and I, if we're applying this, in Ezekiel 12, the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord was reminding me, just as the prophet was speaking, Ezekiel was prophesying that this is taking place in the body of Christ, and it's so strongly taking place. There's so much deception that people are just believing everything they hear. You know, some people are, the things that people are doing today in our nation or even in the church are totally ridiculous. It doesn't make any bit of sense. It doesn't make any sense or common sense what they're doing, but they're believing lies and deception, and they're doing everything they're told to do. Remember this, I'm going to say this, with love, because everything is seasoned with love. Jesus said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and render unto God's what is God's. I render everything. I submit to the nation I serve. I submit to the rules. I submit to the laws, except when man's laws cause me to break God's law, and if they cause me to break God's law, I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's the one I'm serving. I'm not serving this nation. I have served this nation in the military. I honored this nation. Amen. I didn't truly honor them as I should because I was a rebel, but that's another story. Amen. Amen. I obey the laws. I got bonus points I just saw in my insurance because I don't break the speeding laws or I don't break man's laws purposely. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't accidentally mess up. But what I'm saying, and I want you to get understanding, is when they said, the government said we could not meet, there's a separation between church and state. And nowhere in the Bible does God say for us to forsake the assembling together and not to meet. Amen? Amen? In other words, somewhere along the line, I'm going to trust God or I'm not going to trust him. But what he was talking in my heart about, Ezekiel 12 says this. Verse 1. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Amen. Now, when I was running from the Lord, I was a rebel. Hello? Anybody else run from the Lord? I rebelled against the things of God. But when I surrender my life to the Lord, I'm not in rebellion any longer. Because I recognize and understand that rebellion is witchcraft. Amen? According to the word of God. So I'm not having a rebellious spirit. I'm having a submitting spirit. I'm having a spirit to honor one another. We're here to honor one another. Amen? To love one another. To have compassion on one another. So that we hear the word of God. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and Holy Spirit reveals something that is wrong in your life, don't be mad at the pastor that brought the word. Don't get mad at me. If you want to be mad at somebody, take it out with the Lord. It's his word, not my word. Amen. And if he says that we shall know the truth, and it's the truth that makes us free, error never freed anyone. Hello? So if we want the truth, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when the Lord speaks to me, it's ouch. Hello? Anybody get ouchies here? Anybody get ouchies from the Lord except me? Amen? Sometimes it gets hot in the kitchen. But when it gets hot in the kitchen, there's usually something good that comes out of the oven. Hello? So sometimes when it gets warm in the atmosphere of God and God's starting to minister, it may get warm, it may get uncomfortable, but there's always something good to dine on afterwards. Amen? So what I'm looking at in Luke chapter 8, and Lord told me to go here, and I just want to give edification and understanding. In Luke chapter 8, here's the thing. Jesus totally knocked out the once saved, always saved mentality. Okay? And so I'll just read it, what Jesus said, the parable of the seed and the word of God. Verse number 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? Saved. So they should believe and be saved. So what did he say? The devil immediately stole it. Then he says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have not root, which for a while believe in a time of temptation fall away. Well, then he talks about falling away. Well, to fall away, you had to be into something before you fell away from it. Then he says, and they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. In other words, let me say this something for the body of Christ. If you're not producing fruit, you better get back to the altar. Amen. We're all kingdom workers. We're workers for the kingdom of God. God's given each and every one of us a gift that someone else needs. He said, but they that are on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what do? Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 5. He says, it says, the trial of our faith worketh patience, and patience gives us experience, and experience gives us hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So then Jesus challenges you and I in verse number 16. He said, no man, when he have lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they that enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither is anything hid. Anything is hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So what the Lord is saying then, those that know him, hear the word. When he is saying about hearing the word, he is saying not only hear the word, but apply it to their lives. There's more than just hearing. Amen? In other words, there has to be application. You could go to your cookbook. Your cookbook, and you have a recipe. Okay? And unless you apply those ingredients, the end product won't be right without the ingredients. Amen? And the same thing is with the word. If we want to be the men and women that God's called us to be in this dark world which we live in, we got to allow the ingredients to be applied, and the ingredients is the word of God. Amen? Amen? And that doesn't matter where I am with my walk in the Lord. You know, the Lord says he'll never allow more of me than I can bear. Amen? So he isn't going to try to weigh you down with the word, but he wants you to understand. Amen. He wants you to understand the truth. If you know the truth, if you understand, no one can steal it from you. That's what he said. Jesus, the beloved John said, and therefore we have the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. If you look at me in John chapter 14, and we're looking at the spirit of truth, listen to what Jesus said. How many love Jesus? Here's what Jesus says to you. It's in the red. Jesus is speaking. Verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. How many want to hear the voice of the Lord? What did he say to do? Don't listen to the outside noises. Jesus said in John 16, verse number 13, he said, how be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Man, I'm so grateful for the Spirit of God. I'm so grateful that I've got a helper. I've got an advocate. I got someone that can guide me and direct me. Amen. That warns me when I'm going to areas that are dangerous. Amen. And he always, when I'm going in the wrong direction, he doesn't kick me in my butt. But in his mercy and his love, he meets me. And through his love, he turns me around. Through his love, turns me around. You know, sometimes if we saw the old statement that sin will take me farther than I ever want to go, and keep me longer than I ever want to stay, and will cost me more than I was ever willing to pay. Amen. So what the Lord is saying, he's leading us to the truth. And if we're following the truth of God, we're following the freedom of Christ. And not only did Christ say it, but the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse number 13. The apostle put it like this. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, if we have the Holy Spirit that's in us, the Holy Spirit's going to direct us to live holy lives separated unto the Lord. Amen? Are you with me? But when he was saying that those that know us hear us or hear the word, those that know if not hear if not us, that's the test. The test is, are you hearing? The truth is the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth will always bring you back to the word of God. Amen. And one of the things that I warn, and I hear this a lot, and the Spirit of God is giving me warning. Teachers that say, well, this was written for that age or that time, but it doesn't apply now. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. His word has not changed. So if we say that, then what we do is we open up a doorway for every scripture to have no value because it wasn't written for our time. It was written back then. It's a history book. No, it's not a history book. It's a life book. And this book is the life that God has for you and I. He paid the price for you and I to have it. He gave us the Spirit of God to help you and I with it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's alive and it's well. I know. I see it. I put the word to work. I've seen the dead rise. I've seen the sick healed. I've seen the God do miracle after miracle after miracle. I've seen the captives being set free because his word is truth and it's alive. Amen. It's alive. And if you're looking at it as words in a dead book, it'll never have any effect in your life. You'll walk around in misery and pain and sorrow because you've never gotten the Prince of Life and the Prince of Joy and the Prince of Peace that God gave you and I through this word. Amen. When I'm looking at the word, I don't see it. Well, oh, man, I have to do this, or man, I have to do that. I look at it. God says, if you do this, I'm going to bless you with this. If you do that, I'm going to bless you here. If you do this, I'm going to bless you here. And in our natural eyes, we look at it and say, oh, man, I have to give up this, and I have to give up this, and I have to give up this. And if you're looking at what you had to give up versus what you're getting, you're missing the whole picture. Amen. Amen. Because I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Amen. I can't do it in my own power. I can't do it in my own might, but I can do it through Christ Jesus. Amen. I know that his word is alive. Look to the one next to you and say, God's word is alive. God's word is alive. God's word is alive. It's alive in me. It's alive in you. We're serving a living God. We're not serving a dead God. There's many dead gods that men are serving. God isn't on the, Jesus isn't on the cross any longer. Anyone that has something holding him on the cross, that's a liar. That's an idol. That's not God. Jesus arose from the grave triumphantly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We serve the living God. Hallelujah. That defeated death, that defeated hell, that defeated the grave. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. It's time for you and I to get excited about the God we serve. He's a living God. Amen. He's alive and well. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Come on, isn't God good? Isn't God good? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? Listen to me. The Spirit of God is saying, don't look at what you have to give up. Look at what you're getting. When your eyes of what you have to sacrifice and what you have to give up, you're looking in the wrong area. I don't know about you. I look what I'm getting. I'm going to spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to walk in this earth and reign with Christ for 1,000 years in this earth. I might be a servant. I might be a slave now, but I'm going to reign as a king. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't outgive God. Amen. So here we go. Where are we at? Uh-oh. Yeah, we were there, but we were talking about the spirit of truth. Now I have to go to the spirit of error. Amen? Are you with me? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Brian, where was that? Excuse me. Let's go to 2 Peter. I'll never find it in 2 Thessalonians, what I was looking for. I'd be looking there all day and never find that. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Verse number 13. Since we're talking about the new heaven and new earth, verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to the promise, to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot or blameless. And the account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're growing, right? To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So one of the things the Lord was taking me to, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. We'll go to verse number 18. And we're looking at the spirit of error that's in this world. Amen. Verse number 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, worshiping the creation and not the Creator. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with women, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, admitters of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Boy, that was a long list. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God made women for men and men for women. God didn't make man for man or woman for woman. God, God created us in his image, and his image is perfect. Amen. And what God is saying, these things that we're feeding our flesh with, when the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart and life, surrender them to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help you to be an overcomer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen to me. There's no one in the room perfect. We all serve a perfect God. What is this perfect God able to do? Exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or even think. Amen. In other words, when God is calling me to do some things and he's changing me, amen, there's a transformation that's taking care of my life. I've got to trust him in it. I've got to trust him through it. Amen. How many know that when you're feeding your flesh and the Holy Spirit convicts you of feeding your flesh has been used to being fed? Amen. And so all of a sudden, you have to starve the flesh. And Let me give you some edification here, some help. Jesus said, this kind only comes out with fasting and prayer. And whatever I'm asking the Lord to help me overcome, I've got to fast it. And I'm not just talking about food. Whatever it is that has a hold of me, I've got to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to fast this. I'm going to put this on the altar. Amen. I need your help to sustain me and keep me. Now, when he's talking about fasting and prayer, so there's no confusion here, God is speaking about fasting food. Okay, I'm not taking this out of context. I'm fasting food because food feeds my flesh. And when I'm taking that food that's feeding my flesh, I'm separating myself unto the Lord. And that time that I would eat, I'm spending time with the Lord. How many know that we like to eat? Amen. I don't know. I'm a junk food junkie. I mean, I love junk food. But the Lord's speaking to my heart that I can't eat so much junk. Because every time you eat a lot of junk, it gets in your trunk. And you carry junk in your trunk. No, but what the Lord is saying is there's areas in our lives where we're having, it's hard for us to let go of them. We have to lay it at the altar, and we have to spend the time in prayer when that temptation comes. God says this. He says, let no man say when he is tempted by God. Because God doesn't tempt with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But when tempted, we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death. See, there's stopping areas along there that the Lord will help us to be overcomers. Amen? Amen? So let me say this. So we don't misunderstand. I don't have pleasure or celebrate people that sin. I love the sinner. I don't necessarily love what they're doing wrong. God loves the homosexual. But he hates homosexuality. So when God is saying these things, and what we don't recognize is these things hinder and hurt us. Yeah. Ouch. I'm not going to say this in a bad way, but I'm just going to make a statement. Lord help me. Why buy the cow if the milk is free? Hello? You hear what he's saying?
Yeah.
Amen? If you want somebody to marry you, don't give it to them until they marry you. Just say it. Oh, that's hard. It's only hard if we don't trust the Lord in and through it. I have some marriages. I remember one of the young marriages, one of the young couples that I ministered to years ago. I'm not going to mention your names because it's nobody's business. But they were living together, okay? And we were doing marriage counseling. And the Holy Spirit said this. And the wedding was a ways out. And the Holy Spirit said this. He said, you want your marriage to last? What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to separate from one another. And then when you consummate your marriage, then there will be quite a celebration of marriage. And they did that. They've been married for years and years, have children and stuff. And it's just that God blessed it. Amen. God wants us to obey his word.
Yes.
Amen. That doesn't mean that you don't look at anybody any differently. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I had all kinds of things that weren't right. And the Holy Spirit never allows more on us than we can bear. Like I said, I had this big house, and the Lord would go from room to room, and he cleaned up this room. He didn't just do the whole house at once. He went from room to room, and he renovated that room. Amen? Amen? We serve a loving and compassionate God. And when we're looking at this, I just want to close with this. In James chapter 5. Well, I got that done. How many know that it isn't always easy to tell everybody what they don't want to hear? You hear me? You hear me? But God wants you to know it's His love. It's His compassion and His mercy. There's no judgment whatsoever. I ain't going to judge one last person. Amen? Amen? You ain't going to find no judgment from this man. Amen? Because every time I judge someone, I got to answer to the Father about it. Amen? And I, you know, I already got enough to answer for. How about you? You got something to answer for? Amen. I do too. But he says this. Now listen to you. In James 5, verse 19. He says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Man. In other words, if God never spoke it, if God never said it, I never changed my mind or I never changed my heart. But he says not only does he convert them, but he hides it not to be remembered again. Amen. So what the Lord is saying to you and I, His church, the trust, the Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians 4, verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. You said to take the test that we're hearing, the spirit of truth, not the spirit of error, which is our trespass, but that we're trusting you. Our very present help in the time of need. In the closing moments of this service, you may be here today and you may not know Jesus. Or maybe one time you knew him, but you drifted away and you're not in that place you need to be. And you feel the Spirit of God prompting your heart. You say, that's me, Pastor. If that is you, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Is there anyone at all? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? Pastor, I'm not at the place I need to be. Is there anyone at all? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here? Thank you, Lord. Father, you sent a word today to minister to the hearts and lives. And Lord, somewhere, something spoke to each and every one of us. Now that thing that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of, what I'm going to ask you to do is something simplistic. That thing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, that you're asking for help in, because you know it's not pleasing the Lord. And it doesn't matter what it is, this is between you and the Lord. We're not here to get into your sin. We've had our own sin. But what we're doing is, if the Holy Spirit has convicted you in an area, what I want you to do is I want you to lift both hands in the air just to release what the Spirit's speaking to you, to the Lord. Could you lift it to Him? You see, church, He's our burden bearer. He is the one that will carry it and He will lift it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we release this to you today. Recognize, Father, that you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And with your stripes, we are healed. Father, I thank you, Father God, for the healing touch of the Master. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you called and anointed and you appointed us for a time such as now. So may we not just be a hearer, but may we be a doer of your word. And when all is said and done and everything's accomplished, you will receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.